Imagine putting on an oxygen mask while the person next to you struggles for breath. Every instinct tells you to help them first, yet airline safety protocols insist otherwise. This counterintuitive wisdom that we must care for ourselves to effectively care for others forms the foundation of trauma stewardship. Drawing from 25-plus years working with trauma survivors, Laura Vandernoot-Lipsky reveals how exposure to others' suffering fundamentally changes us, often beneath our awareness. Her insights have transformed how healthcare systems, social service agencies, and environmental organizations worldwide approach sustainability in helping professions. When we witness pain without proper boundaries and self-care practices, we risk becoming casualties of the very suffering we aim to alleviate. Trauma stewardship applies to anyone encountering suffering. Teachers witnessing abuse, environmentalists documenting destruction, caregivers supporting aging parents, or activists confronting injustice. The trauma we absorb may be glaring or subtle, sudden or prolonged, widely recognized or barely perceived. The practice requires guiding those who struggle without internalizing their pain, challenging the belief that commitment equals martyrdom. The key technique is staying present with our experience, examining our internal responses without judgment. Trauma exposure response transforms our worldview and affects our psychological and physiological well-being. Many helpers mistakenly believe their role shields them from the suffering they witness. Research shows trauma exposure doubles social workers' risk of PTSD, yet awareness remains low. Caregivers often resist acknowledging trauma exposure due to guilt, fear of appearing weak, or concern that admitting distress will overwhelm them. Organizations that prize toughness further discourage honest assessment. Awareness is crucial. By the time symptoms appear, the impact has already taken root. Trauma creates concentric circles of impact beyond the initial event. At the personal level, our histories significantly influence our trauma work. Those working with populations whose experiences mirror their own bring deeper understanding but face greater emotional risks. Organizationally, workplace culture can either mitigate or worsen trauma exposure effects. Organizations often impose conflicting objectives with insufficient resources, leading to what Michael Lipsky calls service rationing, compromises between ideal practice and reality. Without effective support policies, both direct service and social change efforts suffer. Societally, our collective response to trauma work affects its toll. When people react with discomfort to hearing about our work, our isolation increases. We often contribute to this isolation by avoiding discussing our work or staying within our professional circles. This isolation becomes a key factor in maintaining systematic oppression and burnout among those doing society's most challenging work. Feeling helpless is often the first sign of trauma exposure response. This manifests as assuming responsibility for uncontrollable situations, perceiving traumatic events as endless, and believing current struggles will repeat in similar scenarios. Hypervigilance follows, a state of constant alertness where everything feels threatening. Your nervous system becomes stuck in hyperarousal or numbness rather than returning to balance. Creativity diminishes as survival mode dominates, while thinking becomes binary rather than nuanced. You may crave clear distinctions between good and bad and feel compelled to take sides in every debate. Minimizing occurs when you trivialize current situations by comparing them to more dire circumstances, indicating diminished compassion. This affects personal relationships too, like dismissing others' problems as insignificant compared to real suffering. Chronic exhaustion manifests as a soul-tired, heart-tired weariness beyond normal fatigue, a state where you can't remember not feeling depleted. Other warning signs include avoiding responsibilities, experiencing dissociation, feeling persecuted, struggling with privilege guilt, fearing vulnerability, expressing anger and cynicism, emotional numbness, developing addictions, or adopting an inflated sense of importance about your work. The path to trauma stewardship requires reconnecting with yourself through presence, being fully attentive to both your internal landscape and the world around you. Drawing from ancient worldviews, the Five Directions framework incorporates the four cardinal directions plus a fifth representing our centered self. We begin in the north, calling upon the courage of water by coming into the present moment, stopping mental chatter, and creating spaciousness. From here, we ask, why am I doing what I'm doing? And is this working for me? Understanding your motivations reveals potential blind spots. Are you seeking trauma mastery, driven by purpose, caught in compulsive caregiving, or simply needing employment? Acknowledging you have choice makes all the difference. Moving to the east, we examine where we're putting our focus and expand our possibilities. Like surfing, we can't control the waves, but we can choose which ones to ride. Even in constrained circumstances, we retain the power to direct our attention. Organizations like street yoga focus on achievable goals rather than becoming overwhelmed by larger systemic issues. In the south direction, we develop supportive microcultures, groups that nurture values that may differ from the broader culture. These communities hold us accountable and offer space to debrief, laugh, brainstorm, consult, cry, and grow together. By staying connected, we counter isolation, a foundation of oppression. Compassion forms the foundation of trauma stewardship, connecting us to our most loving values. True compassion doesn't condone harmful behavior, but recognizes that destructive actions stem from suffering. We can practice internal disarmament rather than responding combatively to difficulties. The West direction focuses on finding balance between self and work. Creating humane environments becomes essential. Some child protective services workers practice Taekwondo during lunch. Others create 5-minute sanctuary breaks, using simple items like a white napkin as a makeshift placement amid chaos. Maintaining energy flow prevents us from absorbing others' pain. While animals naturally discharge stress energy after danger by shaking it off, humans often remain stuck. Our neocortex interrupts this natural discharge through fear and desire for control. This undischarged energy becomes the seed of trauma exposure response. Cultivating gratitude creates essential balance in trauma workers' lives. While suffering seems endless, what we have to be thankful for is equally boundless. Reframing difficult people as teachers makes challenges bearable while rooting us in humility rather than indignation. Like a spider's web, delicate yet resilient, our trauma work creates interconnected strands of impact. Just as spiders rebuild after damage, trauma workers must maintain their support networks. Personal wellness becomes non-negotiable through self-assessment, boundaries, and replenishing practices. Drawing from William Blake, small, consistent actions, morning meditation, supportive conversations, pauses between clients, build resilience over time. Internal mindfulness practices enable collective social change rather than distracting from it. Buddhist teachings describe compassion moving in widening circles, from ourselves outward to all people. Deeper compassion clarifies our vision for action. Transformation happens gradually. Rather than becoming emotionally calcified or exhausted, we can develop capacity to move through suffering with greater awareness. This approach honors both providers and recipients. The goal isn't merely to endure trauma work, but to find sustainable ways to grow stronger through it, weaving connections that support healing across communities.